This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can always check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. So today what we're talking about is we're going to talk about some of the new research that has come out within the last couple days, talking about the dangers of steroid injections in hip and knees and how it may do more damage than good, how that there are unknown dangers of those injections to your spine as well. We're going to talk today about how nutrition can have an impact. Your actual pH, which is affected by your nutrition, can have an impact on multiple different systems in your body, whether it be with bone growth, pain. We're also going to talk about, if we have time, we'll talk about how you should not be eating at your desk. We also should not be eating in the car. And there's a reason, like there's an actual physiological reason why. And we're going to talk about why that is. So if you've never heard of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, we are a full family office. I like to tell people that because oftentimes when you come in, you will see families, big families. Maybe it's one kid. Maybe they have seven children. We have multiple families with mom, dad, and seven kids. So it is always the best when they come in. And it's always surprising that they are the most well-behaved children. It's awesome. But we look at the body as a whole. So oftentimes we have patients who come in and they have all of these problems. And unfortunately, what happens is they mask the symptoms. So it's like, oh, I have an illness here. I have an illness here. And so we go to all of these different doctors that look at individual parts, but no one looks at the body as a whole. And so that's inevitably our goal at Greenwood Family Chiropractic is we don't want to just look at one area, you know, or even if someone comes in and they say, hey, you know, I have lower back pain. Why would you look at my neck? One of the reasons why we're so successful on what we do at the office is one, we look and address the body as a whole. Not just, okay, here's where your pain is, so this must be the cause of the problem. It was awesome. We were actually able to go out to Orlando a couple weekends ago for an advanced training, myself and the entire team at the office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, and we had a doctor named Dr. Heidi Havoc. She is a renowned researcher who has published dozens of journals, and it's not just through chiropractic journals in which she's having these publications, that she's actually able to go through large medical journals and how the effect of a subluxation, say an adjustment to your neck. Dr. Heidi Havoc actually found that it stimulates the prefrontal cortex in the brain, which is responsible part of your limbic system, but it controls the vagus nerve. And your vagus nerve is part of your anti-inflammatory system, right? And so like anti-inflammatory to everything. Your vagus nerve is the longest nerve you have in the body. It innervates everything, heart, lungs, stomach, digestion, stems from the very, very top. And so you think like an adjustment and what that has to do with anything in the human body other than headaches, neck pain, and back pain. And you have this idea that, oh my goodness, yes, an adjustment to your cervical spine, your neck, can have an effect on your brain, that prefrontal cortex. So the amount of research that she has done has been phenomenal. So my goal is to continue to keep just educating, posting some of that research on just the overall benefits of chiropractic. More specifically, what we do is different than the average pain-based chiropractor. We look at restoring the structure of the spine. So we look at neuromuscular reeducation. There's different pre and post adjustment therapies, the different adjusting styles. So we actually look to say, hey, if you have unlevel pelvis, if you lost the curvature in your neck, more specifically, what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic is help the restoration of that. We help level it out. And where we have tangible objective measures to be able to look at that to see if that structure is changing. So I want to get into some news today.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
So for today's Health in the News, this is a research article that has come out more recently that speaks about steroid injections of hip and knee may damage joints further. So when you talk about corticosteroid injections used to treat osteoarthritis pain in hips and knees may be more dangerous than previously thought, according to a special report published in the Journal of Radiology. So again, a lot of these journals, I try not to look at just chiropractic journals. I want to look at Journal of American Medical Association. This one comes more specifically from the Journal of Radiology. Researchers suggest that injection-associated risk, like rapid progressive osteoarthritis, which eventually may lead to joint collapse, should be integrated into consent forms so that patients are aware of the potential risk associated with these treatments. So osteoarthritis of the hip and knee are common and debilitating joint disorders. Physicians often inject an anti-inflammatory corticosteroid into the joint to treat the pain and swelling associated with that osteoarthritis. Osteo means bone. Arthritis is degeneration, right? So it's degeneration of the bone in that joint. The procedure is widely viewed as safe, and patient consent forms mainly mention the risk of hemorrhage and infection among more rare side effects associated with most needle-based procedures. However, a recent study led by Ali Guzmazi, MD-PhD professor of radiology and medicine at Boston University School of Medicine, found that these injections, these corticosteroid injections, may be associated with complications that potentially accelerate the destruction of the joint and may hasten the need for a total hip and knee replacement. He says, "We've been telling patients that even if these injections don't relieve your pain, they're not going to hurt you. But now we suspect that is not necessarily the case." In a review of existing literature on complications after treatment with those injections, Dr. Guzmazi and his colleagues identify four main adverse findings. One is accelerated osteoarthritis progression with loss of joint space. One is subchondral insufficiency fractures, which are just stress fractures that occur beneath the cartilage. Complications of osteonecrosis, which is complications of death of bone tissue. And rapid joint destruction, including bone loss. Guys, that's kind of a big deal. The research recommends careful scrutiny of patients with mild or no osteoarthritis on x-rays who are referred for injections to treat those joint pains, especially when the pain is disproportionate to the image findings, right? So say you go in and they take x-rays and they say, well, you don't have a whole lot of arthritis, or, you know, you do have some arthritis, but it's really mild. So it doesn't make sense why you're experiencing all of this pain. Well, when you're experiencing that pain, we think, hey, the easiest thing to do is just do injections. And again, what they said here is oftentimes what they tell patients is, hey, you know, it might not help. It might not relieve your pain. But even if it doesn't, there's not a big risk to it. So it's pretty easy, right? Not a big deal. It's not going to hurt you. And now what they're finding out is it causes that arthritis to happen faster. They found that it causes stress fractures beneath the cartilage, that it causes death of bone tissue, and rapid destruction, including bone loss. So they said physicians do not commonly tell patients about the possibility of joint collapse or the insufficiency fractures that may lead to earlier hip and total knee replacement. They said now, moving forward, this information needs to be a part of the consent when you inject patients with these injections. So this is one when you're looking at these injections that you have in your knees and in your hips. If you knew that these injections in your knees to your hips might cause you to get a total hip or knee replacement that much faster, if you knew it would cause underlying fractures, death of bone, increased rate of, right? So it does a really great job right now of masking that pain. You know, we never know how long those are going to last. But what if that meant that your arthritis was going to be exponentially faster because of those injections? Would you think about receiving those injections more so? And again, I would wonder, especially being that this research came out only within the last couple days, it was released just a few days ago, that if you don't have a doctor who's advocating for you, who's really looking at these things and say, absolutely, it's not a big deal. Do they know about this research that was published in the Journal of Radiology just a few days ago? Because if a doctor told me that, like right now, I just ran a couple miles, my knee hurts really bad. I've had a couple ACL and lateral meniscus repairs from soccer injuries. And so, you know, if someone said, hey, I'm going to do the shot and it's, you know, it's not a big deal, hopefully it'll make you better. And if not, there's really no risks to it. You know, as a person, you would think, maybe it's not a big deal. If you told me all of those other damaging things, then you know what? I would look at that 100% differently. They said, hey, this might make it so you need a knee replacement when you're in your 40s or in your 50s. I would 100% look at that injection differently. But if your doctor is not educating you about that, who is? Right? This is where my job as a doctor is to educate you so that you can make the best health decisions for you and your family. That's what we do. Greenwood Family Chiropractic, initial exam and consultation, just $25. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can go online and schedule an appointment at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Now, this research talks about hip and knees and the dangers of those injections. But what about your spine? Is that any different? We'll talk about it next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. For more information and to schedule an appointment, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Do what it takes, whatever it takes.
Education is the key to what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can check us out online, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. We always post things. You can always follow my Facebook page, Dr. Leanne Schluter. Now, let's talk. We just talked about new research that has come out, the Journal of Radiology, that talks about in the new dangers that they're finding from hip and knee injections. So before, what had happened is they said, hey, we're going to do this injection. Really, we think it's going to go great. It should help your pain. If it doesn't, it's not a big deal because really, there's not a whole lot of side effects. And what this new research has come out and said that's been published incredibly, like just in the last several days, said that not only does it's not as safe as we previously thought. They said it causes underlying stress fractures, increases the rate of degeneration. It causes necrosis of the bone, so death of the actual bone. And the likelihood of your need for hip and knee replacements go up exponentially. That's kind of a big deal. And then it made me think that how often not only do we see those, you know, extremity injections in the office, but what about what we see with injections into the spine? Because I feel as if that same mindset is pretty much the same, right? We're going to give it to you. We're going to give you these injections, right? And oftentimes injections aren't the first place that we go. Oftentimes we go to the doctor, they'll do muscle relaxers, they'll do pain relievers. If that doesn't work, you'll go back. You'll often go through a course of physical therapy, right? You'll go through the physical therapy, and sometimes it helps. Sometimes it's palliative. It helps at the time. Sometimes it does a little bit. Sometimes it doesn't do anything. If it doesn't progress the way that they would like, then oftentimes the next step is they say, we're going to go in and we're going to do these spinal injections. because there's damage on the nerves, right? So what they'd go in and they go in and actually inject these nerves with corticosteroids. And they say, hey, this is a great anti-inflammatory. And so what we'll do is we'll inject it in there. And hey, guess what? This might last 2 days. It might last 2 years. We're never really sure how long it's going to last. So let me walk you through something really quick with that. A couple things. We oftentimes, if you go on Dr. Oz of all people, he has a lot of money for really beautiful, visually stimulating examples, right? So he's got like life, like he takes these like larger than life size things with, but he went through and actually talked about how most of these corticosteroid injections are approved for intramuscular injections. So they're actually only approved for you to get injected into the muscles, where most doctors will actually use them off label to do it to the nerve, which is interesting. I mean, that's always a question to ask. Is what you're injecting my spinal cord with approved for it to be injected in the spinal cord, or only just muscles and you're using it off label? Question. It's a good question to ask. Now, that being said, they're injecting the nerve because there's damage. Something is causing inflammation. Well, if those bones are moved out of alignment and it puts compression on those nerves, it's going to irritate that nerve root. And so that's one of the reasons why when they go in and say, hey, we're going to inject this nerve to help decrease the inflammation. So here's where we take a step back and we figure out, so what's causing the inflammation? Is it a lack of injection? Or is it because there's damage on the nerve root because of spinal stenosis, degenerative disc disease, degenerative joint disease, a loss of curvature, a scoliosis, osteoarthritis? Are there bone spurs? Is there foraminal compression, right? All of these things, all of these terminology that you hear, that's likely what's causing it. So if you have that injection, the reason why they say we don't really know how long it's going to last is because however long it takes for you to put enough pressure on that nerve again to cause that pain again is how long it takes. So again, it might be a couple days. It might be a couple years. Whenever you go through and put enough pressure on that nerve, that pain comes back. And whenever that pain comes back, you go through that same system. Here's a muscle relaxer, a pain reliever. We can go through physical therapy. We can go through injections. If none of that works, we want to do surgery. But again, here's the if there's damage on the nerve, right? So like, why isn't anyone addressing the damage on the nerve? The one thing that I see the most is that when people are recommended for these injections, often there's not full divulgence of some of the side effects or risks that come along with these epidural steroid injections, right? And I think that that's fair that people know, because when I've asked patients who said, hey, they wanted to do this, I said, have they ever gone through what any of the risks would be? And oftentimes the answer is no. So here's where, again, I'm looking at, this is coming from the risks of epidural and transforaminal steroid injections in the spine, commentary and a comprehensive review of the literature. Nerdy, right? But that's the name of the actual published research. It was published in 2013. This is coming from the U.S. Library of Medicine, National Institute of Health. This is the Journal of Surgical Neurology International, right? And so this talks about how there's multiple types of spinal injections, whether it be epidural, in between the facet joints, and they do that in order for pain management. So they said, although not approved by the FDA, this comes from the article, although not approved by the FDA, injections are being performed with an increased frequency, 160%, and are typically short-acting and ineffective over the long term while exposing patients to major risks and complications. Right. Like, did anyone really know about this? Here are some of the things that they talk about. Multiple recent reports cite one, not only contaminated epidural steroid injections resulting in meningitis, stroke, paralysis, and death. The CDC specifically identified 25 deaths, 337 sickened, 14,000 exposed to contaminated steroids. Nevertheless, other patients develop other complications. Other life-threatening infections, right? Because think about this. You're taking an object and you're injecting it into your spinal canal, right? Cerebral spinal fluid. So oftentimes we think, oh, but it'll seal right up. But it doesn't. And so what you have is spinal fluid leaks. You'll have positional headaches. Adhesive arachnoiditis. So it's basically where the anchoring arachnoids actually get inflamed, which makes sense. You're injecting it with a needle. If you poke something with a needle, do you think it might be inflamed? But like our mindsets, hey, we want less inflammation, not more. Hydrocephalus, swelling of the brain. Urinary retention, an allergic reaction. Stroke, blindness, neurological deficits and paralysis, right? Hematomas, seizure, death. So when you're like, I have so much back pain. I have so much back pain. I don't know what to do with myself. And then you say, hey, I want to let you know we're going to do this. Does someone say, I'm going to let you know that you might have brain swelling, a stroke. This might cause blindness. This might cause neurological deficits. Paralysis might cause seizure, might cause death, right? And you say, is it worth it? But again, here's what I see on my end of things from patients that have presented to me, and that those risks have never been fully divulged. Here was another really interesting potential side effects, potential risks of epidural steroid injections. This talks about how some of it, and they say, you know, these aren't really that common, but how uncommon are they really? And so when you're looking at localized increased pain, non-positional headache within 24 hours, facial flushing, that one's rough, facial flushing, anxiety, sleeplessness, fever the night of the injection, high blood sugar. When I was doing research about some of the possible side effects of these lumbar epidural steroid injections, high blood sugar was one of them. I thought that was really interesting. A decrease in immunity because of the suppressive effects of the steroid. Stomach ulcers. Severe arthritis of the hips. Avascular necrosis. Vascular means blood supply. A is none. Right? Necrosis is death. So the tissue dies because there's not a blood supply. Like, is that not somewhat concerning to anyone? And cataracts. That was also one that I did not realize was a potential risk of these epidural steroid lumbar injections. So when you're injecting them in your spine, one of the side effects is cataracts. So you think about what's happening in that body. And all the while, our thought process is, hey, I'm not really sure if this is going to help. It might last a little bit. It might last a long time. But again, if no one's addressing why is this happening? And so our go-to is we're going to take a needle, we're going to go through the muscles, and we're going to inject it into this small dural space, epidural, right? It's before the dura. And we have this very, very minute, super minute area of margin, right? So your margin for error is so small that you're talking about infection, a little bit less than 1% of the injections may actually make it so that it doesn't, it's considered a dural puncture. They say, whoop, we went a little bit too far. Bleeding, nerve damage, right? Nerve damage. So we just have to look, okay, if you have back pain, why wouldn't it make more sense to get down to the root problem, start taking care of the cause, so it isn't something then you have to continue to keep worrying about for the rest of your life? It's so oftentimes that I see people who are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and I say, through their initial exam and consultation, okay, great. Hi, Mary Smith. When did all of this start? Hi, George Smith, right? When did all of this start? And they say, well, it started when I was active as a teenager, but you know, I was just a kid, so I thought back pain was normal then. Guys, back pain is common. It's not normal. Difference, right? Pain is common. It's not normal. And we treat it as something that's normal, so we just mask it. Or we fast forward into our 20s and we're in car accidents. We've got slips and falls and all of these things. And hi, Mary and George Smith, who are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. When did all of this start? Well, it started, you know, I had it in my 20s, but it was just kind of this mild ache and I didn't think much about it. And you're like, okay, So two things that I really see. One is that because it was so mild, they didn't think it was that big of a deal. So they ignored it until it cascaded into this bigger thing that could have been very easily corrected in their 20s and 30s. But then I see them in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. They're, you know, bone on bone degeneration. They've got spurs that are compromising for Raymond in the spinal cord. And it's like, man, this conversation would be very different had we evaluated you decades ago, right? There's a limitation on, I love chiropractic. There's just a limitation on chiropractic and what we can do. So really what we want to be able to see is how do we help the masses? And it's, well, why wouldn't you take care of that before it became a problem? Right? Like, let's help ourselves before it becomes a problem. So we're not at this point where we have only one in one option, and that's injections and surgery. Technically that's two options, right? But like where we only have one option and it's, what do you do? You know, and you're at this desperate point and it's like, why do we see kids that get adjusted? Why do we say, hey, yeah, if you're in your 20s and your 30s and you say, maybe it's the bad mattress, maybe it's I just need a new pillow. Has anyone evaluated your spinal health to see what that looks like, to see if it's something that we can help with? And that's inevitably what we do. Hey, if this says these injections might cause paralysis, stroke, death, cataracts, avascular necrosis, literally loss of blood flow to a supply to where two necroses and dies, would it be worth being evaluated before that point? And the answer, in my personal opinion, very candidly, is yes, right? That's what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Initial exam and consultations is $25. If you want to go online to schedule an appointment, our website's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Now, when we come back, can your nutrition, can what you put in your mouth have an effect on your back pain? I'll tell you what that answer is next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Videos, tips, deals, and more. Find Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Instagram. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation is just $25. Now, if you're just tuning in, I was talking earlier about some of the risks that come along with epidural corticosteroid injections. AKA your back hurts, they want to do shots, injections. And so we're talking about the risk. Here's what's interesting, and here's where I need to add, because I missed like just a really important component too. We see all of these symptoms in a person, right? We see all of these symptoms, and we forget to look at the body as a whole, right? We forget to look at the body as a whole. So this comes from publication in Pain Medicine. It was published in July of 2017, volume 19, issue 2. Talks about the systemic effects of epidural corticosteroid injections. Are you ready for this? So I told you before about some of the, paralysis and avascular necrosis. Listen to this. This is literally these injections we think just are to the spine. Listen to this. This, it gets kind of nerdy. Bear with me. But if you are nerdy, you'll like this. If not, we can Google it and I'll break it down. It talks about long-term effects from an injection actually indirectly suppresses the HPA axis, right? So if you're like my nerds on there who like it. So actually injecting a corticosteroid into your spine for back pain suppresses your hypothalamic pituitary axis. This deals with your brain, different components of your brain, your adrenals, right? So your adrenals are responsible for cortisol, which is your stress hormone. And so what they're finding is it has effect on serum cortisol levels. Here's the big kicker on this. One single injection may persist anywhere from 2 to 52 weeks. One injection may last 52 weeks that it has a direct effect on your brain, your hypothalamic, your pituitary axis, as well as your adrenals. Here's another thing too. Most people don't realize that your adrenals have a huge bearing on your thyroid. So many times people come in with thyroid related problems. So the first thing we do is like, oh, it's the thyroid. What they're finding now is the effect that this corticosteroid injection has that you do in your spine. This corticosteroid injection that you have in your spine for back pain affects your HPA, your brain access, to where it's now leading to hypothyroidism. It shuts down your thyroid. How many people have problems with their thyroid? And it's like, is that really a thyroid problem? Or is that a secondary to your adrenals from an injection you got from your back pain a year ago, 52 weeks, but was only one injection? It doesn't matter, right? They're literally saying one injection can last anywhere from 2 to 52 weeks, the effect that it has on your brain axis. Is that not absolutely crazy? It just blows my mind. So why don't we just get down to the root cause? Let's get down to the root cause. Just crazy. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Maximize Your Life from Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Now, here's another thing. So we actually have a really, really awesome event coming up. If you want to know more about events, you can go to creatinghealthyindy.com. creatinghealthyindy.com. So I started doing some research. And we're talking about body pH, right? So your body's pH typically should be pretty alkaline. And ideally in a human, we want it at about 7.4. For example, if you want to compare, over the past 100 years, with increasing industrialization, the pH of the ocean has dropped from 8.2 to 8.1. And the negative impact of 0.1 on the pH has an effect on the collapse of coral reef in the ocean. 0.1. It's kind of a big deal. pH is important. So what they're finding now is that in terms of a pH, an acidic pH, so let's talk about that. 7.4 is ideal. Numbers that are higher, so like 8, 9, they're more alkaline. Really, from a human component, we could never get to like 9. We would die. It's a very, very specific pH that we need to be in. Any number that's lower than 7.4 is more acidic, right? So the lower the number, the more acidic. The higher the number, the more alkaline. So when we're talking about the human body in terms of the inside, there's different components, right? So like your stomach acid, your gastric acid can actually be 1 to 3, on average about 2. Battery acid is 2. Coca-Cola is 2. So it's really, really tightly regulated. What happens though, and this is what I see a lot, now is the time where, you know, people start making, and just not now, all the time. People, you know, oh, it's just one cheat. The standard American diet is unhealthy, right? Like no one questions that. We know that if you are eating like the standard American, our nutrition is void. Our food is void of nutrients. We're not healthy people. And so what they're finding now is that the standard American foods that we eat typically decrease your pH. So it makes you more acidic. This, anytime you take a urine analysis at the doctor, they check your urine pH. So this is one, if you've had blood work and you want to look, you should be able to see what that is. And again, we want it around 7. Sometimes urine can be a little bit more acidic, but if you're looking at your urine and it's like 5, hey, look alive. So what they were finding is that with nutritional changes, there was a slight but significant increase in the blood pH, right? So they started changing their nutrition, and what happened is it went up. So it became more alkalized. And as the body became more alkalized, allowed for proper functioning of the system, allowed for activation of vitamin D, And it actually, in turn, had been shown to improve back pain. This is where I get people, though, right? Here's where it's kind of a thing. You have these people where it's like, I have back pain. And I say, hey, you know what I really think would help? You should probably get x-rays, right? Like, let's take x-rays. If this is a chronic thing that's been going on for more than a week or two, let's see what's going on. Let's get adjusted. Maybe you need to make some nutritional changes. And like, heaven forbid, if someone has to take action or make nutritional changes, that's hard. Versus if we say, you've got back pain, change nothing, do nothing, and let's inject you. Let's see how it works. And you're like, oh, by the way, did they tell you all the risks? Because if you didn't hear it, just go back and listen to the first two segments about risks of what happens following a corticosteroid injection into your back. Or you could live the five essentials. You can change your nutrition. You can eat right. We can get you proper exercise, right? So it doesn't worsen any underlying conditions. Get you adjusted. Like, what about that? Because even so, they're finding as people start to improve their pH, it actually affects growth hormone. Who is it? Like, A-Rod used to juice up with like growth, human growth hormone. And he's like, but it's natural. Why is that a big deal? It is natural. Your body naturally creates it, but I guess, I don't know, MLB, illegal, whatever. That being said, some of the health benefits of improving human growth hormone. So again, they found that if your pH is acidic, if it's lower, it decreases your ability to naturally produce human growth hormone. Now, on the flip side of things, if you start to eat right and exercise and you improve that, you increase that alkalinity, they found that it increases human growth hormone. That has an effect on improved quality of life, reduction of cardiovascular risk, improved body composition, right? Body comp, fat percentage. And it even improves memory and cognition. They also found that it results in a reduction of urinary calcium loss, equivalent to 5% of bone calcium content over the course of 3 years, right? So if you're someone who's like, hey, I've got a bunch of osteoarthritis, I don't know what to do. Hey, your pH is kind of a big deal, but that's not what we do, right? We say, hey, then you need to take this pill and it's going to help increase it. No one's like, hey, should you address your diet? And that too, like, what if you don't have a problem with bone density right now? Well, fast forward 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. If you are chronically acidic for 3, 5, 10 years, do you think that's going to have effect on your cardiovascular risk, your body composition, your memory, your cognition, your calcium? And the answer is absolutely. But that's what our goal is. And so especially too, with more events coming up, this is our goal, to educate you about making some of those changes. If you want to register, all you have to do is go to creatinghealthyindy.com, right? Creatinghealthyindy.com. It is. That's it. Creatinghealthyindy.com, and get registered for our next event. So when we come back, we're just going to finish up. Should you eat at your desk? Should you eat at your car? The answer sounds like it's easy, but it actually, there's a physiological reason why that's so damaging to you, and I'll tell you why next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Or you can always schedule an appointment online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultations, just $25. Now today, this is a little bit of a sidestep. We're talking about corticosteroid injections into the hips and the knees, how it increases the rate of not only advanced, more accelerated degeneration, fractures, death of bone, but also an increased rate of hip and knee replacement. We talked about some of the damage when those injections go into your spine. This is not new information. Most of the research I found was back from several years ago, whether that be cataracts, death from lack of blood supply, effect from the brain, your HPA axis. Literally parts of your brain are affected after one injection from 2 to 52 weeks. That can not only affect your brain and spinal cord, and but they're finding more so now that, hey, it has an effect on your sugars, cardiovascular, reduction of gonadal function and infertility, adipose tissue, loss of, and then two, because of that effect on the HPA, your brain and adrenals, that those injections into your spine can actually, those things that lead to hypothyroidism. So when you're experiencing this, it's like education, right? So we talked all about that, how nutrition can have effect on bone density. We talked about how nutrition can have effect on back pain, cardiovascular, cognitive impair, bone density. I don't remember if I said that yet or not, but also bone density, because it's just important. If I did say it again, it's just twice as important. But now here's our sidestep. Here's one where the other day I was having a conversation with someone and they were like, yeah, no, I'm super busy. So I just always eat my lunch or sometimes my dinner in my car. And I was like, that's terrible for you. And they're, you know, and I just thought this is like well known. Like we shouldn't be eating on the go. And it was one where I got this deer in headlights look. Like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So I'm like, oh my goodness, if they don't know, I can assume that most people don't know. So here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about two different states that you have in your body. There's two different types of nervous systems, if you will. You have your sympathetic and your parasympathetics, right? I'll break this down for you. So when you talk about the two different symptoms or systems, sorry, when you talk about the two different systems, there's the design to do two different things. So your sympathetic is your fight or flight, right? This is where you're being chased by a bear. You've got a work project. You have to be out of the house within 5 minutes. The kids are going to be late. You spilled coffee on it, right? Like you're running around. Everything's super crazy. This is your sympathetic system. Sympathetic is fight or flight. So what happens through this stress response is that our body gives an immediate rush of energy to the muscles to run away, right? Our body's like, if I'm going to be chased by a bear, I'm going to get an instant rush to muscles to run away. So what it does is it takes away all available energy away from the muscles, including our digestive to the muscles. So it takes it away from our digestive tract, right? Because like really, you don't need to have a bowel movement when you're being chased by a bear. Your body's like, I need all of our energy to be put out to the muscles. Here's the other system. The other system is your parasympathetic, which is also known as your rest and digest. Now, this is one that you're relaxing, right? You're able to like switch it off. This is one where too, like more relaxed. You know, maybe in the morning when you get up, oftentimes your parasympathetic is what's working overnight, that you may have to have a bowel movement, right? Easy. So here's what we do though. So what we do as a society is we live in this sympathetic, rushed fight or flight, right? I got to get the kids. I got to do this. I got the work project. Oh my gosh, I got a big meeting. I just got to eat lunch. I've got the speech. I've got this breakup. I've got intensely stressed. I'm wired. I can't move. And we eat. We're in front of our computer screen. We're eating in our car. We're all stressed and we're eating. And so what happens is your body is not physiologically ready for that food. And we can't figure out all of these digestive systems where literally how the brain works to the point where like if you're in the sympathetics, your pupils constrict, dilate, they dilate. I don't know. Your pupils change. I forget. Right? Like your pupils change. The vascularity to organ systems change through this. But then when we try to eat, your body's like, I don't know what to do with this. I'm being chased by a bear. Why are you trying to eat lunch while you're being chased by a bear? So your brain's super confused. It has no idea what to do. So this is one where I have to highly, highly recommend you. We just have to take time for ourselves. That's like so incredibly important. It's easy to not do that. But then two, what we need to do is really focus on relaxing. Take a few deep slow breaths, before putting food in your mouth. Because what that does is those couple minutes where you just take a step back, you calm down a little bit, it helps stimulate your parasympathetic nervous system into action, and it turns your digestion on. So if you're someone who's one of those stress monsters, who's running around, eating in their car, eating on the go at their desks, my recommendation to you is stop. You have to, because here's why. Your body's not gonna process properly. It's not gonna absorb properly. So just an information. Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. I look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.